Welcome to MMA on the Rocks. My name is Bill Welker. You are listening to episode 346 of the podcast, unless you're joining live on Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube. If you want to catch a show live on any one of those platforms, or all three of them somehow, make sure you subscribe, turn on your notifications so you know when the show is live, like right now. Today is Sunday, January 28th. I got a little extra pep in my step thanks to Magic Mind Productivity Shots. So you guys may have heard me talk about in the past couple of months, I gave up coffee. The caffeine just wasn't doing anything for me, so I needed an alternative. Magic Mind is matcha, so it's got a little bit of caffeine in it for energy. And it's nootropics, mushrooms, for focus. Help you get shit done, which is what I need to do. Get shit done all the time. So I'll drop a link for you guys in the comments, and I'll put it in the show notes as well. And you can use the promo code MMARocks20. Save yourself 20% on Magic Mind and give it a shot. I mean, I prefer these kinds of shots, but sometimes I need to have a little extra energy, like tonight, because my guest tonight always brings the energy. One of the most energetic people I know, in fact, undefeated bare knuckle boxer who will be competing next weekend, Royal Ryan Reber. Ryan, how you feeling,
man? Man, I'm feeling like a million bucks, baby. Finally happy to be on, bro.
So you feel exactly like you look. Yeah, we've been trying to set this up forever. We tried to do it in person a while back and, you know, scheduling. I know you're a busy man. I'm a busy man. We got kids. We got work. We got all kinds of stuff going on. But I had to get you on before this fight. So before your fifth fight in BKFC, by the way, had to get you on at least one time. So you'd be fighting next week, actually this Friday, February 2nd, BKFC 57 in Hollywood, Florida. So you're fighting Derek Perez, who doesn't have an undefeated record, but his only loss is to the current sitting champion at bantamweight, Keith Richardson. So give me your thoughts on this opponent coming up Friday night.
You know, I think he's a game opponent, man. I think he was the next guy in line for somebody like me. It's a good matchup for me. Styles make fights, and I do believe that, man. So, you know, I asked for the number one guy, which was Reggie. I asked for the number two guy, which was Jared Grant. I'm the number three guy currently. The number four guy is Travis. We already just fought. And the number fifth guy is Dat Nguyen, but Dat shouldn't even be there. I don't know why he's there because he fights at 145 now, but, it, you know, whatever. So if I was going to fight anybody else that wasn't ranked, he was the next guy in line because the other guys were actually taken up as well. Some of the other undefeated bantamweights are actually currently on the card as well. And then you got guys like, you know, Danny Alvarez is a good, would have been, you know, a good matchup. But you know, that's what me and Nate kind of chopped it up a while back. That could be a future opponent next. So, You know, we put him on the list and that's who popped up and that's what's next for me, man. So
you're talking about Nate Shook, is he the matchmaker? Okay.
For BKFC. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can't argue with the product he's put out there. I mean, he's done a great job matching people up. I'm sure it's going to be fireworks because you're going to be in there. But Perez is a tough guy as well. I mean, he was in there with the champ. So do you feel like you not only need to win, but you need to stand out against the other bantamweights on the card? Are you competing twice in one night?
Man, I don't put that kind of pressure on myself. I just look to go out there and perform like I know I can perform. And when I do that, I will be victorious just like I have in the other fights. You know, I seen a little write-up article about us that my brother had sent. I don't know who wrote the article up, but, you know, they were talking about how I kind of had two controversial wins. I don't see how those were fucking controversial wins. I mean, maybe the shady one, but, you know, in my eyes and anybody who knows fucking fighting, if somebody's willing to cheat like that over and over and over again, that's because they want to find a way out of a fight. You know what I mean? He's had every opportunity to fight the right way and didn't. And I was literally letting him gas out on the ropes and I was going to knock him the fuck out. So that could have been a finish right there. Kind of fucked up. As far as the Travis fight goes, me and Travis both knew what was on the line. And I mean, you're talking about a guy that had at that point in time was his 10th professional fight. I personally shouldn't have been fighting him as up and coming just 3-0, But that's what they have for me. That's what I did. And I mean, if you want to call it a squeaky victory, yeah, I mean, whatever, man. But you're still talking about one of the toughest son of a bitches that has ever gonna step foot on that squared circle, being Travis. You know what I mean? And, you know, Derek's another tough guy too. But, you know, those tough guys, it's cool to be tough, man. But when your face is fucking hanging off, you know, and the doctor stops it, you know, you're going to have to be tough in the back room, you know? So,
yeah. And that's kind of the brutality that comes along with the bare knuckle. There's so many cuts involved because, you know, you're getting hit with
everybody that I fought to this day, I've cut. Or, I mean, Travis, I completely closed his eye. Shady, I cut and didn't even have a lot of time to do so. Rick Caruso, I broke his orbital. And the other kid, I just completely butchered, you know, my first opponent. So, I mean, I you know, these write-ups and whatever people think, I don't really give a fuck, nor do I pay attention. I stay in my lane and I know what I'm capable of doing. And I've been doing this shit for 20 plus years, man, in all aspects of, you know, martial arts. So I'm a fighter at heart, man. And to take this, oh, man, it's going to take everything you fucking got. So I hope you're ready for that, you know?
Well, I can vouch for you because I've been punched by you on many occasions with 16-ounce gloves on. And I can tell everybody listening that that was not fun. So I definitely wouldn't enjoy getting hit by you with bare knuckles. That's not something.
It's so much funner, man. And I'm so accurate with what I do. And half of the time I don't hit, it hits all by itself because I'm just running through the motions that I've ran through a million times. You know, just like Bruce once said, fear the man that trains 10,000 of the same punches or the same kicks than the man who trains 10,000 different punches and different kicks. I got a mindset to do this. It's already locked in. It's dialed in. And I mean, really, you know, they all say you can't play fighting. Sparring's one thing. Going in the gym with boxing gloves on and working like that's one thing. But getting in there with no gloves on is a whole different animal, man.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. And, you know, part of me is like, man, that's brutal. You got to be crazy to do that. But the other part of me that's been doing this shit for so long thinks like that might be kind of fun.
Yeah, no, it is. I think a lot of people, you know, it can be brutal, but all aspects of fighting. I mean, to me, MMA is definitely the most brutal because you could catch a fucking elbow. I've watched people catch flying knees. And boy, oh boy, I would not want to be on the receiving end of a flying knee or a fucking, you know, supercharged up elbow. You know what I mean? Like even Muay Thai, man, Muay Thai is fucking kicks and elbows. And if you could do headbutts, you know what I mean? Certain organizations let that happen, man. That shit's rough right there, man. Try getting a fucking leg kicked 30 times in a fight like I've had before. You know what I mean? Like I'm good.
Yeah. All right, you convinced me. I'll do bare knuckles. So next time one of these guys writes a nasty article about you or has some shit to say about your victories, you send them my way, and let's get a media bare knuckle match going on. They can catch these hands right here. I want to go back, rewind to the Travis Thompson fight real quick, because you brought it up and you said somebody wrote an article that you squeaked by with that victory. Couldn't be farther from the truth. So let's put that to rest right now. You're one of the few guys in the history of the BKFC who's actually gone 6 rounds in a fight, because for those who don't know, in bare knuckle boxing or on BKFC specifically, if the fight is ruled a draw by the judges, it has to go one more round. So I'm curious about that because, you know, the fight ends, you're waiting for the decision. There's a certain adrenaline dump that happens mentally. You feel like you don't need to be in fight mode anymore. How do you go from that? How do you go from that to, all right, now we got to go one more. How do you switch it back on? Is there any kind of process
honestly,
to that?
Man, or is my, it just my coach in the corner. I went to go back in the corner, like totally fucking beat and just I couldn't use my left hand at all. And my coach James, man, he pointed right at me and he said, "You know what to do. You know what to do." And they just charged me back up. And I was like, yep. Yeah, I know exactly what I need to do. I need to go out there and finish this fucking fight off. You know what I mean? And
was this you knew it was going to the 6?
No, it was right as they announced it. Because I knew they were going to go 6 because I could hear them say it through the ropes. They're like, "You're going to go one more." I was like, and that's when see my whole demeanor change. I'm like, what? I'm like, yeah, we're going to give the fans what we want, but this isn't what me and him fucking want. Like, his eyes completely closed. My hands completely fucking shut. Or, you know, I can't even close it all the way. And I'm like, shit, man. shit. And that, and I mean, that's when you have to dig real fucking deep, man. Real fucking deep. And it's like, how bad do you really want it? And it put both of us on the hot seat. And, you know, realistically, man, they told both of us, they didn't really tell me, but they told him who told me that that was the title elimination fight, you know? So, and like I said to other people, man, like I still got a couple years left of this shit, man. And where I currently sit right now, I'm really in no fucking rush, man. I'm not in no rush. I'm going to be at the top eventually. I'm in no fucking rush to get there, man. I'm really not. Because when you rush the process, that's when a lot of slip-ups occur and happen. You know what I mean? I'd rather get more. Because to be honest with you, man, I haven't even really showcased 50% of my true skills in this shit yet, man. You know what I mean? Like, each fight, I'm getting a little bit better and a little bit smarter and figuring out a little bit more. So there's always so much more room to grow. And fuck, I can grow off of a 4-0 record. You know what I mean? And I pay super close to numerology and the energy and all that shit, man. One of my lucky numbers is 5, bro. And this is my 5th fight. And it's also going to be BKFC 57, which has got 2 of my numbers in it, the 5 and the 7. So, you know what I mean? And I've figured that out with all these BKF shows that I've been a part of, whether it was the BKFC or the date that I fought on. You know what I mean? They all balanced around. And I mean, that's just, to me, more universal signs to be like, okay, you're moving in the right direction, you know. And those are the type of things that give me the confidence, you know what I mean? Give me the confidence. And I also look at my opponents, just like I said about Travis, he ain't gonna outbox me, he ain't gonna be stronger than me, he ain't gonna have better footwork than me, you know what I mean? And it's the same thing with Derek Perez, you know what I mean? And Derek Perez is, in my opinion, he's a step down from Travis, maybe not toughness, but definitely skill wise. He's bigger, so he can utilize that a little bit better. But I'm also bigger, so the guys he beat are fucking 5'6", 5'7". You know what I mean? I'm every bit of 5'9", just like he is. So we'll see how he pans out against a longer opponent as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and just back on last thing on that Travis Thompson fight. So you did end up getting the W, rightfully so. Credit to both of you guys coming out in that 6th round, because like I said, that's got to be a major mental hurdle to get over. You think the fight's done and then you got to get back in there. But at that point, it's just got to come down to who has more dog in them. And it was definitely you on that night.
Yep. And I mean, look, man, Travis definitely had the dog in him, but I don't think he had enough time in training camp to go that long. You know what I'm saying? Like, He's a hard worker, man. He's an honest guy. He owns his own company, and I know he busts his ass. So when it comes to fighting, that's when he decides, okay, it's time to fight. I'm about fighting every fucking day. Like Derek Press, he owns a gym. I could practically own a gym how much I'm at my fucking gym. And the only reason why I don't own a gym is because it's way too much shit to worry about. You know what I'm saying? Like, I gotta run. I already run a barbershop, and that's fucking hard enough, man. Mm-hmm. I can't even tell you how many times I was like, I'm so done with this shit. I'm so done with it. But, I couldn't imagine owning a gym, training to fight, doing this, doing that, trying to stay focused. And then on top of that, I'm sure he's cutting probably 25 pounds from the start of camp. So a lot of these guys think it's such an advantage to cut all this fucking weight until you feel like shit during the fight. You're like, well, fuck, maybe 35 wasn't the move. You know what I mean? So, we'll see. I did things a little bit different this camp. I stayed a little bit lighter. I've gotten up into the 150s, but I balanced it out about 145. And right now I'm walking around at like 142, man. So cutting weight ain't going to be shit for me.
Oh yeah.
I'm professional, man. I'm smart. I don't want to do anything that's going to jeopardize, me going in there and not being able to perform at my best. And I've been pretty much in camp since the Travis fight. I took 1 week off, man. And then I took maybe a month off of my hands, but I was in there in my head, working, moving, learning every day, man. So
speaking of your hands, because you did bring up the fact that you own a barbershop, that's, your trade during the day. Have you injured your hand so far doing the bare knuckle? Because obviously that would be terrible for you to have a broken hand if you got to cut people's hair.
Man, it's just the flick of the wrist. As long as my wrist is good, I think I'd be all right. And we tape them up pretty damn good. So yeah, no, man, I like I said, man, I meditate every single day, man. And that gives me an opportunity to really control my mind and my thoughts. So when I read something negative or I see something I may not like, or somebody tells me something that I may not want to hear, I really block that shit out, man. And even when I think about the what ifs, I don't think about the what ifs. I'm like, what if he knocks me out? Or what if I run into this punch? Or what if, do those thoughts cross my mind sometimes? Absolutely. But I shut them out immediately and I go right back into thinking, you know, about who the fuck I am and what I can do and how I can do it. And you know what I mean? And I really just instilled nothing but greatness in my mind, man. And, you know, if I were going to fucking lose, I would have beat myself. And yeah. That's one of the greatest tragedies of a man, is to beat himself.
I mean, I guess if you ever did mess up somebody's fade because of a broken hand, you could just tell them, well, I still got one more right here. So
yeah, I'm going to hit you with the elbow. You know, I can kick too, Bill.
Yeah.
You know, I felt, that's still in the toolbox.
I felt a few of those as well.
Yeah, so, I grew up on Bruce Lee, man. That was my first fucking influencer, my first teacher. I read all his books, studied all his philosophies. And what grew me onto him the most is when I started with karate when I was 16, and I was beating the black belts in fucking the third month I was in there. I was like, golly, man. I'm like, bro, these dudes have been here for almost 10 years and I'm fucking almost whooping them. So my boy comes in and he was older than me at the time, probably like 15 years older than me. And he's like, here, man, you got to read this book. And it was The Tao of Jeet Kune Do. And the very first fucking page I read, Bruce Lee was like, style is not the way to go. And I was like, see, man, that's what I was thinking. I was like, all this kata and all these, you know, that's how you get a belt. I'm like, that's fucking stupid. I'm like, so then I got into the boxing gym, and from the boxing gym, that's when MMA started popping off around 2002. And mm-hmm. we were doing submission fighting and grappling, and I kind of fell in love with that. So I had both. And I mean, really ever since then, man, it really, really changed my whole life and the way of looking at things. And martial arts actually made me become open-minded for anything and everything, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, martial arts saved me, man, and it continues to save me to this day.
I'm right there in the same boat with you, and I consider myself a bit of a Taoist myself, and I've had some Taoist literature really impact my life over the years as well. Just the idea of being able to deal with things as they come is something that really speaks to me, being like that uncarved block that they talk about in Taoism, and, you know, allowing things to shape you however they're going to shape you. It's definitely a great mentality for fighting. So I'm glad to hear that you're all mentally sound and everything's been great physically so far. I want to get a prediction from you, because I know you're focused on your fight. You're focused on Perez, but the card you're going to be on, headlined by a title fight between Luis Palomino, who's a 2-division champion and former, light middleweight boxing champion, Austin Trout.
Yep.
So how do you think this one's going to go? Obviously, Trout has a ton of boxing experience, but we've seen that boxers don't necessarily do well in bare knuckle. And Lewis obviously is one of the best on the BKFC roster. I think 9-0 and 2-division champ. So what do you think about this main event?
Well, I hope that Lewis doesn't come out with that mentality, like, he just wants to kind of survive through it and doesn't want to put on a show because he didn't get Mike fucking Perry yet. Mm. But I do think he pulls out the victory. How is it going to be pulled out? It's hard to say, man. I almost think it could go the distance, you know, and he'll outpoint him. I don't know what he's got left in the tank to continue to knock people out. But I think Luis Palomino is going to be way too bare knuckle savvy, smart. For Trout, you know what I mean? I just think he's gonna have more because it's a totally different style of fighting. And I know Austin Trout has gotten one under the books, but he fought Diego Sanchez, which had zero bare knuckle experience as well, which mm-hmm. is also an MMA guy, you know what I mean? And I agree with you 100%. Like, I do so well in this, I believe, because I'm not just a boxer. I'm a fighter. You know, like I said, I was Bruce Lee, but I, you know, everything that I kind of touched, I became good at, whether it was karate or kickboxing or, you know, just regular boxing. So, you know, I am a perfectionist. Like, I really try to analyze something, break it down, and to really perfect it, whether it's the way that your hips got to snap or the way that your foot's got to, you know, pivot or whatever it'll be. So then I lock that in, and then I go in, and I just repetition over and over and over and over and over again. And, you know, like with Travis, man, like you could have been like, how are you going to fight Travis? And I could have told you how I was going to fight him, but was that how I was going to really fight him? I don't know until I see what these guys are going to give me. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, everybody want to be like, well, what are you going to do? I mean, I'm going to do what Ryan knows how to do best. And that's fucking fight. You know, how is it going to end? I don't know. Tune in February 2nd and we're going to fucking find out. I mean, do I want to win by knockout? Am I looking to try to knock him out? Fuck yeah. But I mean, hey, he's a tough dude and I'm not going to press the opportunity. I don't feel like I got heavy shoes to fill. I don't care if it takes me 3 rounds to take care of him. If it mm-hmm. takes 4 rounds to take care of him. Obviously, I'm trying to get it done quick, but I'm not going to press it and run into anything either because I feel like, and you know who taught me that was Julian. You know what I'm saying? And that's why I hang around people like Julian, like Dave Mundell, like J.R. Ridge, you know, guys that have been at the top, man. I surround myself with these fucking lions, bro. And they teach me things along the way. And one thing that I learned from Julian was during the Mike Perry fight, he's talked so much about how he was going to knock him out and how he was going to do this and how he was going to do it in the first round. So when he got knocked down in the first round, Julian was like, bro, it fucked me up so bad for the rest of that fight. Because you got great shoes to fill when you talk all that shit. You know what I'm saying? That's why I'm not a shit talker, man. I'm more of a realist. I'm just going to keep it fucking real. You know what I mean? I'm not going to be like, oh, I'm going to go out there and fucking do this and go out there. Could I? Absolutely. But I'm not going to say no dumb shit like that, man. Like I said, I can't. Yeah, I don't know. And I don't really, I only watch film a little bit because how he fought his last opponent is not how he's going to fight me. I guarantee you that. Even like Rick. And what people don't understand is like, okay, the Rick Caruso fight. Rick Caruso was coming off fight of the night and he butchered that little fucking wrestler from the WWE, Jack McClathley. He butchered him, mm-hmm. you know, and I was kind of like, fuck, man, he's coming off a fight of the night. He's 6'1" at 135 pounds. I mean, really, that's all you need is length and bones in this shit. So I'm like, you know, and yeah, his record sucked. So I was like, all right, well, whatever. You know what I mean? And we took that fight. You see the outcome. Shady, same thing, coming off of a good knockout win. And then Travis Thompson was coming off of a fucking fight of the year. You know what I'm saying? A fight mm-hmm. of the year. You know what I mean? Like, so anybody to say that these dudes, I don't care what they did in boxing or in MMA or any of that shit, because this ain't that sport. We ain't getting taken down. We ain't throwing kicks. We ain't using gloves. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's different. So I don't listen to all that noise.
Very different. And I mean, you were a contender for fight of the year last year as well for your fight with Travis Thompson, which
right.
personally I voted for. I don't know how it panned out because.
Well, I mean, there was big shoes to fill. I mean, I knew Keith really deserved that one because that shit was fucking excellent. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, that was just such an outstanding fight. And I mean, dude's a dog, man. But, you know, I feel in my heart I could beat Keith. You know what I'm saying? I do. And you know what I'm saying? I'm sure he feels the same fucking way. I just, you know, I go out there and I beat Ryan and I do what Ryan does. I could beat him.
Yeah.
You know, I could beat anybody on that fucking roster, you know. Like I said, it's just who's coming to fight. But I'm not a wishy-washy fighter either, man. I might start a little slow, but I don't care, bro, how I start, man. It's how you finish. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not worried about that. Like, it takes me a few minutes to get adjusted. And once I get adjusted, you know, then I'm going to start working on all my technical skills.
And you know, have and
I
to
got
have
a,
that.
I got a lot in my tool belt, man. I got a lot in my tool belt. Like I said, that I have not even yet. Like Travis, all I did was hit him with 1-2s, mm-hmm. you know, and for a little guy that kept pressing forward, like, bro, when he didn't even give me a fucking chance to breathe. I couldn't even think during that fight. There was no point in time where I could set up and was like, okay, I'm going to bang, bang, bang. There was no time for that. You know what I mean? It was like, go right from the bell. And I mean, when I tell you, man, that me and that man locked eyes for about a good 2 minutes before that fight even happened, like we were just locked eye to eye. And I knew at that moment, this shit was going to be a war.
It definitely was. I mean, you have to have that mentality. You have to believe in your skills. Otherwise, you know, why bother get in there?
Well, and you know, it's not just me that believes either. My coaches around me, my coach Bo, my coach James, man, I got so much love for those guys because they don't bullshit. And they tell me every single day, man, you're one of the best we've trained, man. You're one of the best we trained, man. You just got to listen, man. And I try to explain to them, like, look, man, the boxing shit is a little bit different than this bare knuckle stuff. You guys got to understand that a little bit, you know. So yeah. The way that I'd be performing with boxing gloves on sometimes, and everybody, bro, everybody outweighs me in the gym. You know what I'm saying? I'll be very fucking lucky if I can get somebody even within 10 pounds of my weight. You know what I mean? So everybody I fucking get in there with is, you know, is bigger than me by at least 15 pounds. And that's on the lower end. I mean, even Lil JR right now, he ain't so fucking little. And when I tell you he's fast, ain't he that? Bro, he's one of the hardest I've been hit lately was by JR. I was like, fuck, bro. Like, you need to lose some goddamn weight, boy.
Yeah, I've been in there with JR. I know what he puts behind his punches, too.
Well, he was one of the main reasons why I stuck it out at MJM for a while, man, because, you know, I felt like when he was there, man, and he fucking whipped my ass one of my first, I think, weeks in there. I was like, ooh, I like this spot. I was like, he's good to work with. I was like, I like this. I like what's going on here.
Yeah.
He knows.
Yeah, JR's tuning in
now. He's a badass little motherfucker, man. He was just, you know, shit happens, man. I try to influence these guys to do a little bit more meditation to get the fuck out of their own heads before these fights, man. And a lot of them don't really understand how crucial that really is and how much it really game changed to just – there's something so special about finding nothing and emptiness, man. There really is. When you fucking empty your mind, you become anything you want to become, man. You know what I mean? And really just focus on your breathing. It really, really fucking helps. And I got Headspace app, so that way I can time it and I can, you know, see how many minutes I've put into it. And then it reflects throughout my day. Like if I'm fucking shit, it's something as so simple as getting into an argument with somebody, you know what I mean? Or, you know, something that really pisses me off before I fucking react. I think third person, like, you know, you probably shouldn't say that. Or even when I'm on social media, like people piss you off. I'm like, yeah, I could really dig into this dude's ass over something and I'm just fucking let it go. You know what I mean? Even, oh, you suck at fighting or you this. I was like, yeah, bro, I heard that before. Good one. You know what I mean? Or yeah, whatever, bro. Like, you got to watch where you put your energy, man. And energy is a very important thing, not only to me, but it should be to everybody in life, man, because we're all balls of energy having human experiences in human bodies. You know what I'm saying? And that's honestly from years and years of research is really what I came up with, man. And, you know, it's just what it is.
Yeah, you don't need to dig in anybody's ass. There's no buried treasure there. So we got a comment or a question in the chat here. I think he might be trolling both of us, but I'm going to throw it up here anyway. Cook's Auto World says, Bill seems to think he can take anyone down at will. Could he take you down? This is a question for you, Ryan.
Abso-fucking-lutely. What you mean, Ryan? You know what the deal is. We know exactly who that Cook's Auto World is, all right? And if I bring my car there, and if anybody brings their car there, that man's going to take care of you.
Yeah.
And if yeah, no, Bill, Bill, you're solid, gym. Bro. I mean, even working with you, bro, for sure, man. You were fast for a fucking smaller guy and a heavier guy, all right? You a heavier guy, bro, but you move, boy. You surprised the shit out of me.
People you are going to think I paid you off to shine my wheels on my show.
Nah, I just speak facts, man.
I appreciate it, brother. Yeah, we got to get some training in.
It's well, no, and long. I told Matt too, man. I've really been meaning to come up there and come mess with you guys, man. But it's been like by the time I'm done at my gym and I do personal training with Dave Mundell's guy, Nick Ruiz, and he's been such a game changer for me as well. Bro, I'm cooked. I don't got time for anything else. And, you know, being on, you know, my training schedule and shit, I got to be places at specific times. So it hasn't really opened doors. But, you know, after this fight and after camp, I'm definitely going to come back up there and, you know, get work with you guys because I do miss the whole crew, man.
Yeah, man. I definitely, if I got to come to you, close. I'll come to you. We'll get some work in.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
All right. So I gotta bring up a little something. The last time I saw you in person, and this is kind of a funny story, but I'm going to put you on blast here a little bit. So BKFC 53 in Orlando, I go into the event. I'm a VIP at these things. I hate to brag, but, you know, I get my press credentials. I get snuck in the back door. There was some kind of computer error where people's tickets weren't registering.
That shit was fucking horrible.
I walked past a BKFC superstar on my way in, you know, since I was privy to access. And I happened to walk past this handsome dude who couldn't get through the doors for some reason. And his name was Ryan Reber.
I know that motherfucker.
Dressed to the nines, as always. And you know, of course I had to break your balls about it because I had to walk right past you. I had to cover, I couldn't do anything to help you get in. And, you know, I didn't even have to take any punches.
Bro, get me in. Well, I had a fucking squad with me, man. And like you said, the tickets got fucked up. And it was a real shit show because that location, they couldn't access the damn Wi-Fi, man. So it was like, fuck.
Yeah, it was a bit of a mess. No fault of anybody who was working there. You know, tons of people got stuck outside.
That's the last thing anybody wants, especially for their promotion, man. And, you know, Dave, hats off to him, man. The owner, Dave Feldman, you know, he's been outstanding, man. And he's the true inspiration, especially for a guy like me who really came from nothing, man. I didn't have fucking rich parents growing up. I didn't have, you know, shit handed to me. I had to really work for a lot of my shit, man. And, you know, that's the same thing with him, man. So watching people come up like that and run this organization the way that he is and what's going on in it. And I'm a part of it. And it just, you know, and I always remind myself, like, no matter what happens at this point, I'm always going to be able to cement myself in bare knuckle legacy, you know, especially coming from nothing, not coming from a pro background. And then, you know, just being a ranked fighter, you know, for as long as I've been. I mean, I was number one on BoxRec for a little bit. Then I became number two. Then I got bumped to number three because Reggie lost and he took the number one spot. Mm-hmm. But, you know, man, it's just, you know, I'm totally just grateful, man, for, you know, where I've already made it, man. And just more is an extra. So it's, you know, let's go, baby.
Yeah. And that's what I was leading to with that story. I know there's no hard feelings between you and BKFC. It was just a little, you know, technical error. But I know that you're very gracious to them. I know you're very appreciative for the opportunities that they've given you. And I know they've taken care of you as an organization. And I know that you and Dave have a great relationship. So that's awesome. I'll leave you with this. This is the last question I have here in my notes. I know you've dabbled in other combat sports and you've trained other combat sports, and I know you're totally focused on BKFC. Down the line, is there any interest in competing again? And I know you've done some boxing outside of BKFC as well, but down the line, is there any interest in getting back into any other things, or is this the main road for Ryan Reaver going forward?
I mean, if it wouldn't conflict with BKFC, possibly, and depending on, you know, if the money was right, of course. But, I mean, yeah, man, I'm pretty much all in with BKFC. You know, I signed with All In, great management. Vic's been he's been outstanding. His staff has been absolutely outstanding in the way that they've been taking care of me and really keeping a lot of shit worry-free for me and the weight that they pull. And, yeah, man, I just, you know, so with them, really, the sky's the limit. If I came to my manager and was like, hey, bro, I want to do this, or hey, I want to do that, I'm sure he would make it happen and could make it happen. So, but as of right now, man, I think I really pissed off the promotion by taking that Game Bread fight. And that wasn't really on me, so to speak, because my previous management at the time, you know, really fucking massaged me in talking about, nah, bro, they're not, I'm telling you, this won't affect you at all. It won't affect you to go in there and to get whooped against a fucking silver medalist Olympian that has 200 amateur fights. That's fucking bigger than you. This won't affect you at all. No. And then I talked to Dave personally, and Dave's like, man, you know, that just kind of really fucked you. And they said the same thing. Like, it kind of lowered your stock a little bit when you did that. And, you know, we kind of had to throw you in there with a guy like Travis to see, you know, really what you were made out of. Well, you know what I mean? So you go from looking like a complete fool on live TV to coming back and have one of arguably greatest six-round wars in BKFC in history. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
You know, and then, like I said, like you said, hey, there's only been, I think, three or four six rounders, you know
what
I mean?
Just a handful.
So,
yeah.
Right. You know what I mean? There's definitely been under five. So, like I said, I've already cemented myself in BKFC history, because imagine in 10 years from now when they're fucking like the UFC. And, you know, we're guys like Ken Shamrock and Tito Ortiz. And, you know, that's who I look to be, you know, in my sport, because it's still growing. It's still new. And I feel like when people see this shit, they really like it and they fall in love because, like, bro, it's what we've all wanted to see, you know? Like, what would that fight be like without gloves? And the coolest part about it is you can get a guy like, let's just say, like, Cody Garbrandt, because, and the reason why I mentioned him is because he's a 135er. If he comes to the BKFC, guess who would get a crack at him? A guy like me that came from shit. And then I go out there and I fucking beat this dude. I mean, like, perfect example is Dave Mendel beating Mike the Marine. You know what I'm saying? Like, Mike had, bro, he had a lot of experience, high level experience, Bellator experience. I don't know if he was a belt holder or not at any of those point in times. But you go into the BKFC and don't think he wasn't thinking that for in the back of his mind, like, oh, this kid hasn't done what I've done. He hasn't been where I've been. He hasn't seen the fights that I've seen, and then gets fucking demolished by him, you know, after he knocked him down. You know what I mean? And Dave came back up off a knockdown to finish that fight off. And, you know, that's the Dave that, you know, and that's why I surround myself with cats like him. Very humble, genuine, loving dude, bro. Cares for you, will go to war for you. You know what I mean? And, you know, like I said, those guys are all doing something right. You know, Julian, he's back on the right path. You know, mm-hmm. I hang out with him. Me and him are like, you know what I mean? Two of the same motherfucker. He's same age, and he was born just a little bit before me. So, you know, right around that same era, that same age. All my 80, early 90s babies. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, we're different, man. You know, this new generation, we're fucked, bro. They're going to be soft as fuck. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of these guys jumping into this shit just to get some clout and a paycheck. You know what I mean? I didn't come here to get clout and a paycheck, man. I came here to fucking take over, and I said it from day one. I could probably dig old Facebook posts up from 3 years ago. I don't just start something and be like, oh, well, I want to see if this is cool or not. When I'm in, I'm all fucking in. I think it, I live it, I eat it, I shit it, all of that. You know what I mean? So, like I said, man, I'm going to be a hard motherfucker to beat out there, man. And, you know.
Yeah, absolutely you are. And that Dave Mundell and Mike Richmond fight was another one of my picks for fight of the year last year. That fight was fantastic.
Absolutely, bro. And yeah, you're right, bro. I forgot that was last year too. And that was, that was, in my opinion, better than mine and Travis's fight, just because of, you know, me and Travis had a great fight. But like I said, there was really big shoes to fill for those. I mean, Tony Soto and fucking, what's his name? John Good John. Had a candidate, I think, too, for fight of the year. And that was another amazing fucking fight. And, you know, it's just like, but like I said, man, I'm not worried about what anybody else is doing and whose shoes I got to fill. Like, Keith deserves to be in the situation he's in. Cause I mean, go look at that motherfucker's MMA record and what he's already accomplished. Like,
sure,
he's a seasoned fucking vet, and he's going to be a very hard motherfucker to beat, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's fucking good, bro. And hats off to him. And that's why I'm just like, you know, man, he's a real one, bro. And, you know, he's going to be a hard motherfucker to beat, but fighting guys like that, it's an honor for me, man. Because I got nothing to fucking lose, bro. I came into this game with nothing to lose. My family told me don't do it. My kids told me don't do it. A lot of people are like, why, Dad? You lost your last fucking couple amateur fights. But I'm like, I knew why I was losing those fights. You know what I'm saying? A lot of them I was getting robbed in too. You know what I mean? So it was like, you know, I was like, nope, I'm doing this. I've made my mind up. And then when I did it and I got my fucking hand raised for the first time in years, bro, there ain't no better fucking feeling. There's no better feeling, bro. There's not a drug, nothing.
Yeah. I mean, I was there with you that night. So I remember very well. You were on cloud nine.
You were, man. We were in camp, bro, together. You know, like, I trained with at MJM's for that one, man, for sure. And, you know, like, I did that shit. You know, of course I got my camp and everything else. But I mean, like, just people don't understand, like, the fucking hurdles and all the mental bullshit and all the things that the self shit I put myself through that. If that pressure didn't bust these pipes, baby, the only thing it fucking did was form a diamond. And I mean, bro, I just can't wait for the next couple, you know, years to go by and me to retire happily and get to share my story and help not only the youth, but the next up and coming fucking people, man. And just really instill into people that, bro, the law of attraction is real and you could do whatever the fuck you want to do.
Hell yeah. Yeah, man. Well, you know, I've been supporting you since you set out on this journey. I'm happy to say I've played a small part in it and been a part of it.
No, absolutely, man.
I'll definitely continue to support you. You've had tons of people leaving positive comments here as we've been talking tonight. And I'm definitely proud of you, brother. And I'm looking forward to seeing you do your thing next week. And I know you're going to put on a great show, and I know there's great things in your future. Is there anything else you want to get off your chest and let the people know, let them know where they could find you on social media, any sponsors you want to shout out, anything like that? The floor is yours,
man. Royal Reaver. That's my Instagram, Facebook, all the same. I try to keep it simple, man. Of course, I'd like to thank, you know, my gang that I'm with, Julian for coming down for the fight, you know, Dave for helping me prepare, Nick Ruiz, and of course my coaches at the gym, you know, James and Bo. Thank you guys so much, man, for the influence, the positive words, the people who love and follow me, and most important, man, my manager, man, who's really been, you know, taking control of shit all in, man. They're fucking awesome, bro. You know, Vic, he's a stand-up guy. He's all about energy, man. And we, you know, we got something real fucking good going on here, man. And, you know, I just, like I said, I can't wait for the future, man. I can't wait for it, but I live in the now, baby.
Awesome, Ryan. I know you're a busy dude and you're in fight camp. You got a lot going on this week. I appreciate you taking the time. Let's do this again. After the fight, let's do it over a drink or something and keep it casual and talk some shit.
Yes, let's do it, man. I appreciate you, Bill.
All right, brother. Good luck to you next week. I'll be watching for sure.
Thank you, bro.
All right, man.
Bye.
And that was Royal Ryan Reaver, who will be competing next week, BKFC 57, Hollywood, Florida. Make sure you tune in for that. The main event, Luis Palomino and Austin Trout. It's going to be a great card. With that, I'm going to bring in Matt the Mechanic all the way from across town. We're going to talk a little bit of MMA to wrap up the show. Matt, thanks for waiting in the wings.
Hey, no problem, Bill. Good interview.
Thank you.
That guy seems like he'll get up in your face.
Oh, yeah, he will. He definitely will. And he's been in my face before, and it's not comfortable.
Yeah, it's high energy.
Definitely. And he doesn't stop. He's still.
Oh, by the way,
testing.
Is this good?
Yeah, you sound good, man.
Sweet. So I apologize for the last couple weeks.
No, it's all good.
Yeah.
People are very forgiving. They're still here. They're still tuning in. So, all right. Before we get into MMA, you were at the Royal Rumble last night in St. Pete. I watched the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, that surprised me so much.
Because I knew you guys were there. And once you told me it was free because I have Peacock, I was like, all right, I'll throw it on. And now, you know, I was doing some social media and stuff, but I gotta say, I quite enjoyed it. It was very nostalgic for me. I got to see, you know, a couple of people I recognized. For the most part, I didn't know any of the wrestlers, but as a kid, the Royal Rumble was always my favorite event of the year, like by a long shot. So, that's why I liked it. And then, you know, seeing CM Punk come right down to the end with, I keep wanting to say Dusty Rhodes, but I know it's Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, Cody Rhodes.
It was a good show. They their production quality's through the roof. They know how to tell stories. I feel like some of the Royal Rumble stuff was a little lazy. Like a lot of it would be, you know, six people laying down on the skirt of the ring while two people were fighting in the middle. I feel like it used to be a little busier back in the day, but I thought it was a good show. It was a fun time. Did you enjoy being there in person?
Yeah, it was fun to be there. What was going on with the people on the side is they had a lot of injuries this year, so they brought in a lot of lower, like from the farm leagues.
Oh, okay.
So a lot of those wrestlers I didn't even know. I consider myself a casual WWE fan. My wife's hardcore. It's always on in our house. You know, it's not real, but it's fun. So the experience to go to was, it was a 50,000 people record-breaking attendance at Tropicana Field.
Nice.
When we bought our tickets, they were only selling the 60% of the stadium. And I think with the response, they opened it up whole. So they moved the ring away from us, which kind of sucks. But man, the energy in that place is amazing. Yeah.
I mean, wrestling fans, they go all out. I've been to a few WWE events like back in the day when I was younger. And I remember it was electric. You know, I've been to one or two at Madison Square Garden, and it's an awesome experience. Maybe if I had known about it a little sooner, I would have planned to try and go. And the girl who won the female, I don't think I knew any of the women who competed, but when this girl Bailey came out, for some reason, something said to me, this girl's going to win. I don't know if she just had like that energy about her. And even though she came out like pretty early on in the Royal Rumble, I was like, I have a feeling this chick's going to win. And I don't know her story. I don't know anything about her. I don't know anything about any of these women, but I don't know. There was just something about her. I thought like she's
definitely the top three female. We got Becky Lynch, and then uh-huh. there's the tall lady with the red dress on, or the red leather outfit.
Yeah.
And I think the woman that won came out spot five, and that's a pretty common thing. You come out five or last, that's the most mm-hmm. likely you're going to win.
That's
weird. It was so fun. I mean, there was a little 12-year-old kid sitting next to us, I'm mm-hmm. guessing on 12. But he was just talking shit the whole night, and it just made, you know, it brought me back to, you know, the Undertaker days and what I enjoyed.
Yeah, for sure. I'll never forget. I went to like a local show, like a non-televised show, but it was WWE, but they, you know, they do a lot of shows that aren't on TV. And there
not
was
anymore.
This well, they used to.
Yeah, so they used to a lot. Now that they don't do that shit anymore.
They call them house shows. I guess they can't because everybody has cell phones and shit like that. And plus they don't need that revenue anymore. But there used to be this wrestler called Papa Shango, and he scared the shit out of me as a kid. When I was like 10 years old, this guy, he was like a voodoo guy. He went on to be a pimp character. I forget his name. But yeah, that guy scared the fucking shit out of me as a kid. And when he came out, I wanted to run and hide in the bathroom. My dad made me stay in the seat. I think he was the main event. He fought Tatanka. I don't know if you remember him. He was
I don't remember him.
He was a Native American wrestler. And so Papa Shango comes out, scares the dog shit out of me. And then Tatanka comes out and whips his ass in like 15 seconds or something. So I guess that helped me get over that fear. But yeah, the Royal Rumble is a good time. I enjoyed watching it. And I mean, if it was a pay-per-view, I definitely wouldn't have tuned in. But since I have Peacock and, you know, I could just throw it on. I usually just throw a movie on at night while I'm working on the podcast stuff or whatever. So, you know, it was nice to have that in the background. I wasn't fully paying attention to it either. I was just kind of relaxing.
They have a pay-per-view every month, and you can watch every single one of them. That Peacock thing is actually what got my wife and I back into it, because we're like, wow, we can watch, you know, because we always wanted to watch Hell in a Cell and Royal Rumble.
Sure. But you're not paying like $90 for it or whatever it is.
No, it's $15 or whatever.
Yeah. Anyway, let's.
When I was sitting there last night, I thought of something. The WWE has this thing called Money in the Bank, and it is one of their pay per views. Mm-hmm. And they have a male and a female match, and the person that wins that gets a briefcase that they call Money in the Bank. And the Money in the Bank means you get to challenge the champion at any time. They, you know, last night when Roman Reigns won, he could have ran into the stage and used this thing, and he gets an immediate title fight. And I was thinking about that, and something's been really bugging me about the heavyweight division in the UFC of Aspinall is asking for a fight.
Mm-hmm.
He deserves a fight, but he's stuck waiting for the John Jones Stipe thing to,
which may not happen.
Now, we know John Jones is the greatest fighter of all time, but he is getting older. Why does Aspinall, who's done everything, have to sit and wait? Couldn't they, like, my suggestion would be they need to give John Jones the obvious immediate rematch, but Aspinall cannot wait. So that leads me to, what's the game we want to play? What's it called?
Hot Take.
Hot take.
Hot take or take a shot?
Yes, hot take or take a shot.
All right, so is this your hot take?
This is my hot take.
All right, so I have to argue against this, otherwise I have to take one of these disgusting shots here.
Yep, and if you agree, wait. No, if you can give an argument, I'll take one. If you can't, okay. You take one.
All right, so just tell me the hot take again.
My hot take is that John Jones should be stripped of his heavyweight title. And the caveat would be he gets this, you know, money in the bank, but, you know, they're not going to call it that. He gets the immediate shot when he's ready to go. Like, he should be the interim champion.
It's tough because here's – all right. I don't necessarily disagree with you, but here's why they won't do it. Because the fact that when John Jones comes back, it won't be a title defense. He'll be fighting to win the title again. So he won't be walking second.
That's what I mean is what I'm trying to say is the like this whatever belt they decide to give him or, you know, he is the champion, but he can't compete. So the challenger is going to continue to fight other challengers until the champion is ready.
All right. So you're saying,
but Aspinall will be fighting as a champion.
You're saying he should be stripped, but he's the champion.
He should be stripped, but have the money in the bank. When he's ready to go, he can fight. And I know you're bringing up the business side of it. Well, pay John Jones. Enough said.
Yeah, but it,
or they can walk him at the same time. Who gives a shit about this?
Yeah,
I mean, it
becomes a legacy thing because then if he wins, he becomes 2-time heavyweight champion as opposed to he defends the heavyweight championship. And you know, they are different things because a lot of records look at, you know, consecutive title defenses, and you know, he had a lot of them as a light heavyweight champion until he ran into the Daniel Cormier thing where the win was revoked. And I think the legacy is more important to John Jones than whatever compensation they give him to strip him and give him this money in the bank or whatever the case. So I don't know if.
Well, the money in the bank is just the way they use it. It's just the concept. It just seems extremely silly that Aspinall's sitting around going, well, you know, he's even tweeted out that he's not even going to look for a fight because Stipe's already said he's not going to fight him.
Yeah. So what's going to happen is Aspinall's probably going to have to defend the interim title, which would be a first.
Yeah, but they said they're not interested in that.
Who said that?
The UFC.
So Aspinall can't fight. His hands are tied.
Waiting on a prime, you know, he's a prime in his prime. We're waiting on
And John Jones could have decided to just retire and not tell anyone and just kind of keep stringing everything along.
Anyway, who's drinking?
I don't think there's a right answer here, so I think we both have to take a shot.
Okay, pick a number 1 through 5.
3. Is it the Sambuca?
Yeah.
Oh, it makes me so happy. All right, I have all my disgusting shots in this brown bag. I'm going to blindly reach in and pick one. Oh, I know it's going to be gross. All right. I guess it's not horrible. So Jim Beam Orange.
Hey, that's pretty bad. Not bad. This smells like Good and Plenty's.
All right, I want you to go first.
It's licorice, right?
Yeah, it's like black licorice. It's like a dessert, like an aperitif. Oof. Oof. This brings me so much joy because if you guys don't know Matt, he is very even keel all the time, doesn't really react to anything. That's probably like the most emotion I've ever seen out of you is drinking that Sambuca shot.
It's not bad. It's just,
It's not meant to be a shot. One, I think it might help clean your pipes out.
Ooh.
All right. Well, here's bottoms up to Jim Beam Orange. I'm not.
I bet it's mediocrely bad.
It just smells like orange cough syrup.
Ooh.
No, that's terrible. It's terrible. It's it. Oh. Oh, man. I don't know why anybody would drink this. You would think it would be good because, you know, a lot of cocktails are based around bourbon and oranges, like old fashioned and stuff like that. It is not like that. It's like,
well, if you put that in, a bottle of Diet Coke, it probably tastes like a old fashioned style.
Yeah, it's just, and I enjoy regular Jim Beam. This shit is disgusting.
Yeah, yeah. There's a couple times I just wanted to grab like a little Jim Beam, and they'll throw in like in the little bin. They'll have a flavor of vanilla or something random. Ugh, it's so bad.
And I'm even gonna, against my better judgment, I'm gonna finish off the last.
Oh yeah.
There's a little in the bottom. I don't want anybody to see that.
Got to pay our debts.
Say I cheated. Yeah, it says right on the label. It says bright and juicy. That's not how I would describe this. I would say medicinal and disgusting. Fuck you, Jim Beam. All right, I gotta up my hot take game. All right, what else we got on the docket?
Oh, I forgot. I have a soundbite for that.
Okay.
That's that shot. Okay, so John, I guess we'll start with the oldest news. So Dana, that reporter that was messing with Sean Strickland was trying to fuck with Dana.
Okay.
And Dana wasn't having it.
Dana, I just want to go back. You were talking about, like, you obviously give a long leash to your fighters about, you know, what they can say when they are up there with a UFC microphone and you are getting into territory of homophobia, transphobia. Like, is there...
I don't give anybody a leash.
Well, I'm saying you...
A leash?
Like,
free speech. Control what people say. Going to tell people what to believe. Going to tell people... I don't fucking tell any other human being what to say, what to think, and there's no leashes on any of them.
The only person bringing up that kind of shit was that reporter. Sean Strickland didn't bring that up. Dana didn't bring that up. That guy brought that up.
Right. And, you know, on the one hand, that guy's just doing his job. He's supposed to.
No, he's not.
He's supposed to say things that are going to get attention. And that got it. It got attention. You know, that's his job. His job is not to report the news in a professional manner. Like, that's just not the job of journalists anymore. But I'm 100% on the side of Dana White here. I mean, just to personalize it a bit, I've had people on this show who have come on and they've had opinions that I definitely don't agree with. But I'm not going to boot them off the show or say, hey, you can't talk about that. I just have to kind of roll with it. Like I was talking about with Ryan Reber just a few moments ago, I'm something of a Taoist, I consider myself. Not really religious, but more spiritual in that I just kind of roll with whatever comes my way. And that's how I've dealt with people who have said controversial things on the podcast in the past. Now, granted, there hasn't been a lot of them and I don't have this huge viewership, but I don't believe in censoring people. If I disagree with you, I'll let you know that I disagree with you and we can have discourse about it. And I'm a big believer in that, which is going to bleed into our new hot take segment that we do typically on Thursdays, by the way, folks. So Matt's here tonight because we didn't do a show on Thursday and there were no UFC fights this weekend. But typically Thursdays is where you can catch the hot take or take a shot segment. But I don't believe in censorship. And I think especially as an employer, I employ people who have different religious views than me and they talk about it frequently and it's fine. I don't ever tell them you can't talk about that. So yeah, I think you get into sticky territory when you start telling your employees what they can and can't say. I mean, the media and the public will crucify people enough for their words and for their actions. So I don't think there needs to be any discipline from an employer because somebody says something controversial.
Yeah, and the censorship can also be skewed because, you know, we're talking about Sean, his press conference, and you know, this guy thinks he's saying those terrible things. Well, it kind of made him trend. You know, everyone was talking about this fight.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you could say that guy did that, maybe. I don't think that's what that guy was trying to get. But there's a lot of people that out there that believe what Sean does. And I think Dana deserves some credit to just allow his fighters to say what they want. And if they need to be censored, you'll be censored by the public. Like if you say something that people don't like, they just won't like you. Like you don't need to stop them from saying it.
And by the way, I shouldn't have to say this, but allowing someone to speak freely does not mean that you agree with the things that they say.
No.
Like, you can definitely disagree and allow them to say what they want at the same time. It's not one or the other, you know? And I kind of get the argument, like, he's up there, he's holding a UFC microphone, he represents the company. But really, an intelligent person knows that he represents himself and his opinions are his own.
And the UFC they are is not, just putting a cage for him to fight. They're just setting the fight up for him.
Yeah. And a lot of companies will make people put on their Twitter accounts or whatever, their X accounts, you know, my opinions are my own. They don't represent the company I work for, whatever. And I think that's fine. Like, if you want to, if you want to, as a company, put a policy like that, like, hey, make sure you make it clear that, you know, you have your own opinions and they don't represent the company you work for. That's fine. But as far as like telling people what they can and can't say, go fuck yourself.
And let's get one more in. Do you want to talk about John Anik or Kayla? Or we can talk about both.
Let's talk about Kayla. Leave John Anik for Thursday.
All right. So Kayla Harrison is coming to the UFC with the wild card at the 135-pound division. Yeah, I'll just play this.
Okay.
I have heard nothing but I want to fight the very best. Just because it's got those UFC numbers behind it, there's nobody in the UFC in the 145-pound division, really. Okay, Amanda walked away. She's gone. Who's there?
Okay, so yeah, I heard this John McCarthy and Josh Thompson talk about how Kayla Harrison was big talking about, I want to fight the best competition in the world. The fight everybody wanted was Kayla Harrison versus Cyborg. And she decided to walk away and take the UFC opportunity. I think she made the right choice, personally. And we'll get into the weight in a minute, but let's say she fights Cyborg and beats her and then doesn't get that UFC opportunity again. When her career is over, all anyone will say is, well, she never fought in the UFC. She never held a UFC championship. And most people are not as involved with MMA as John McCarthy and Josh Thompson. Most people do not follow the PFL and Bellator. I think because they're involved in it, you know, they're too close to the forest to see the trees, so to speak.
Yeah.
So they think that more people ingest that product than they actually do. The UFC is the end all be all. And if she ended her career without a UFC title or without a UFC fight, I mean, if you look at Kayla Harrison's Instagram, it doesn't say PFL champion. It says two-time MMA champion. You know, she doesn't even like affiliate with the brand because nobody knows what that means. I could tell you I'm an MMA champion. You know, that could mean I won a local amateur title that I fought one time and I won that title. But if I tell you I was a UFC champion, former UFC champion, every single person in the United States and the world probably knows what that means. And that's what she wants. She wants legacy. So to say that she's running away from competition. I say she's running towards cementing her legacy.
Yeah, I'm on the same side with you, but they're also right. But this is just I think there's only maybe two instances where leaving Bellator and going to the UFC, you're actually leaving the stiffer competition.
Yes, kind of. Now, you know, there is talk of Amanda Nunes coming back. If that happens, Amanda Nunes has knocked out Cyborg. So yeah, she's definitely stiffer competition than what Bellator or the PFL has to offer. Now, the other issue with this is the weight. And let me preface this conversation with, I'm a big fan of Kayla Harrison. I have met her. I have trained with her. She used to come frequently she used to come frequently to Hansel Gracie Fort Lee, which was my gym when I lived in New Jersey. She was good friends with the judo coach there, Chris Skelly. Shout out to Chris Skelly. And I didn't train directly with her. She would come and kind of like show some things. I never actually did. In judo, they call rolling randori. I've never sparred with her, rolled with her, anything like that. But I've met her. She's a lovely person, very positive, very energetic, very helpful. You know, she came and would help out the judo program there, which was very high level. I trained judo there for about a year and a half. But judo is not my thing. It just wasn't for me. Yeah.
So cut to the chase, Bill. How hard is it going to be for her to make 135?
Well, let's put it this way. When she competed in judo and won the gold medal, she was competing at 172 pounds.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm totally ignorant to judo. I'd imagine it's like jiu-jitsu where you kind of just compete where you're at. Like, yes.
But however, think about like if she was walking around at 172 pounds competing, and that was maybe 10 years ago. I don't know the exact date when, and she won the Olympics twice, by the way. And I don't know if people realize what an amazing accomplishment this is. No American besides Kayla Harrison has won a gold medal in judo.
Yeah.
And she did it twice. She is a phenomenal athlete. She fought at 155 pounds in the PFL, and she was a champion there.
She fought at 145 as well.
She fought at 145 a couple of times, and it was a struggle for her.
It was a
big reason why she didn't sign with Bellator earlier, because she didn't want to make 145 pounds. Now, to make 135 pounds, she's going to have to cut a damn leg off. But I will say in the same breath, if anyone can do it, if anyone has the discipline to, you know, focus on their diet and get their weight down and accomplish this goal, it's Kayla Harrison. I mean, she is a world champion through and through in every aspect. So I expect she'll be able to do it.
She might even be able to get a sponsorship from Pfizer. You know, she can use Ozempic. I don't think that's Pfizer.
Yeah, I don't know.
That might be how you do it.
It's going to be interesting. I mean, look, if she were to fight, I'll put it this way. If she were to fight Cyborg in PFL, Bellator, whatever they're going to call it going forward, this merged company, I may have watched it. I may have not. I'll definitely be watching UFC 300.
Oh, yeah.
As will every casual and hardcore MMA fan. Everybody will be watching. All eyes will be on it. And that should be justification enough for her to choose the UFC over tougher competition.
Yeah, so, and Big John is right that the stiffer competition is in the Bellator now, but 18 months to 2 years from now, the tough fights will be in the UFC again.
Yeah.
Especially if Amanda comes back. And there isn't... I think there's another one that's talking about making...
Jermaine Durandamy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, Misha Tate is still around.
And also, no one even knows who Kayla Harrison is now. Anybody in my people I know day to day, they know all the big stars. They don't know who Kayla Harrison is. And to me, Kayla Harrison is the star right now. So she's got to get over the UFC. And a lot, I've showed a lot of people on my phone her picture, and they're just like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Who's this woman?
Oh, she's built like a tank.
Yeah.
I don't think people understand how tough of a sport judo is, because it's not that popular in the United States, which is why we've only had one gold medal champion. I'll tell you another thing. A guy by the name of Travis Stevens, by far the strongest person I've ever encountered in my life. He used to come and train at Henzo Gracie Fort Lee as well. He used to come and teach a jiu-jitsu class sometimes, and he would show some takedowns. He was an Olympic silver medalist in judo. And I mean, you know, as well as anyone, Matt, I've trained all over the place. I've trained at gyms all over the country, Florida, New York. I've trained in Colorado, California, a whole bunch of places. Travis Stevens is by a long shot the strongest human being who's ever put his hands on me. It felt like and I didn't even roll with him. He was just grabbed me to demonstrate a move, and I felt like I was being grabbed by a grizzly bear. If you just do a Google image of Travis Stevens, you'll see this is like one of the toughest sons of bitches walking the face of the earth. I don't think people fully understand how hard judo is. That is a rough fucking sport.
I only made it two classes. I made it the second class. We were kind of sparring a little bit, and I got like it's called a Lins Frank fracture on my foot. I was like, that's a wrap. I'm pulling guard.
Yeah.
I limped around work for 3 months because of that.
I believe it. I mean, I was like close to my 30s. Maybe I was 30. No, I was not even 30 when I started training judo. And it sucked. You get fucking thrown on your back over and over and over and over and over again. And this is coming from a wrestler. I've been getting thrown around since I was 11 years old. Judo is rough on the body. Again, if anybody has the discipline to get 235 pounds and become a champion there, it's Kayla Harrison for sure.
Yeah. I mean, John Anik's not going to take long.
I am growing tired of this MMA space a little bit, and just the morass of negativity when there is a close fight, because even if you and I both thought Dricus du Plessis won the fight, we try to present that information respectfully. And when I go on to X or I go to our YouTube comments, it seems like a lot of these fans are just in attack mode. And I don't know if these fans are casual fans or not, right? But I appreciate the passion, but I'm getting to a point at 45 years of age where I don't know how much time I have left in this MMA space, because if I go do pro football, like, I'm not necessarily going to be dealing with this lowest common denominator all the time. And
I'll go first. Two things. NFL crowds are way worse. And two, he must be having a bad day.
Yeah. I mean, obviously something got to him. Something hit a chord. Usually John Anik is, you know, a consummate professional. He's able to keep it together. I mean, he's an intelligent guy. He should know to, you know, drown out the negativity, but it's hard sometimes. You know, I've had, you know, people talk shit to me on this, you know, small podcast, and it shouldn't affect me, but like, I found myself being like, fuck that guy. And I get it. And MMA fans are negative, but Chael Sonnen, of all people, put it into perspective for me. I listened to his show on Friday, and he talked about this very thing. And he said, as a fan of MMA, some people like to go and cheer and some people like to go and boo. And I was a person who would like to go and boo. That was fun for me. And, you know, it's the same sort of thing with WWE.
Oh, yeah.
The fun for them is being negative and, you know, being empowered to be negative and actually be able to ruin somebody's day with negativity. That's empowering for some people. And they're able to do that with the internet now because you can basically contact anybody in the world. They may or may not see it, but if they do, it could ruin their fucking day. And that's very empowering for some people.
You just brought it full circle because I don't know if you caught the – it would have been the second event of the night. It's Roman Reigns. He was defending his heavyweight championship belt. I was actually wrong when he talked to you yesterday. He's been the champion for like 4 years. And the thing is he's the heel and he cheats every match. You know, every time – his manager or one of his family members will come in and hit his opponent over the head. And
is that how he won last night?
Yeah, every time he wins that way, but he's the heel. And he's got this thing where his fans, when they walk in, they're like this.
Yeah, I was wondering what that was, the number one.
And then if you're not down with champ, you switch to this. So everyone's got their hands up.
Okay.
That was the most cool thing about the WWE is the call and response.
That's fun.
And there were, you know, people standing right next to each other with the different, you know, differing opinions, and they had a blast together. No one was yelling at each other, and that's why I laugh when John Anik, he must never walk through the crowd at a away football game and hear, you know, Stacy's been attacked at Raymond James because she was wearing a Bengals jersey by a drunk guy, you know.
Jeez. Yeah, sports fans are awful, and that's a big reason why I don't even pay attention to team sports anymore. The whole thing, like, I don't watch football anymore because I was a Giants fan, and I saw them win the Super Bowl twice, and it was great. It was so much fun.
Yeah.
They were great games.
Like, all right.
But I'm like, what do I do now? I got to root for them to do this fucking every year.
Yeah.
Like, I can't waste my time.
Fortunately,
anymore.
I'm a Browns fan, so I will always be rooting for the.
Well, there you go. Yeah, you'll always have something to strive for. For me, it's like I can't spend every Sunday and Monday night and Thursday night on this sport anymore. But
yeah,
it sucks, man. There's just shitty people out there, and you know, it gets to the best of us sometimes. So. For that reason, I can sympathize with John Anik. But for the reason that, I mean, you told me he makes, what, $500,000 to do one pay-per-view?
Yeah, that's according to the Google machine. And
yeah.
I did check a couple different places, and I'm pretty sure. I think that's probably correct.
Yeah. And Cook's Auto World, who was trolling us earlier, has to say, Anik may have chosen the wrong career if he can't handle some online shit talk. He's actually one of my favorite announcers. And... yeah, I mean, the guy is great at what he does, but...
oh, I feel the same way, the best.
You gotta have a thick skin if you want to do this. And yeah, John Anik is great, but, you know, sometimes you get a microphone in front of you and you have a thought in your head and you just get it out. And, you know, for him, it backfired this time because everybody decided to jump on it. And, I mean... I can speak from experience. I've gotten on here like pretty well liquored up and said some things I probably shouldn't have and let out some thoughts. Like,
yeah, he had some misfires. It's okay. Everyone has a misfire.
And who knows? Maybe, you know, maybe he's hitting his bong before he gets on a thing and he gets a little in his feelings. And then, you know, he gets on there to a few 100,000 people and lets his feelings out there and then everybody's jumping on him. So for that fact, I sympathize with him, but you know, just look at your bank account and you'll feel better, buddy. Yeah.
He just needs to listen to his buddy Joe Rogan. Don't read the comments. I mean, I'm sure episodes that we do, we get thousands of comments. I don't even look at a single one of them, and you don't care.
Oh, thousands.
I know, but I just don't look at them.
Yeah. I do. I mean, I read the comments and all four of them. Yeah, you know, every now and then somebody gets under my skin, but I get over it pretty quick. Because I realize, like, that's not a person that's ever done what I've done, you know? And I feel like...
everyone's in a different situation. You don't know what the hell it. You know, comments on social media are like road rage. You don't know what the hell that guy's going through, and you made a mistake, hit your brakes too early, and now you know this guy's behind you, flipping you off, and you're like, what the fuck did I do?
Yeah, that happened to me a few weeks ago.
Yeah, you're like, remember the guy, man.
The guy followed me home,
and then when he does it, you don't lie. You wanted to slam that fucking car in park and go back there and ask him why he's honking at you, right?
Yeah, part of me did, and the other part of me is, you know, my family's at home. I don't want them to find out where I live.
But I mean, I think that road rage and YouTube comments, the same thing.
Yeah, but yeah, they're right up there because it's not personal. They're not really attacking you. They're like attacking their own demon through you. You're just the vehicle for it. And it's unfortunate. And I mean, whatever, man. People suck, but what can you do? I mean, I appreciate everybody. I used to have a guy who used to troll every single live show, and he would make up different screen names. But I always knew it was him just by the type of Jeff talk. No, it wasn't Jeff.
No,
it was another guy.
Anyway,
but I used to find it hilarious. And sometimes he would say things that were so inappropriate, I couldn't react to it. But I'm secretly like laughing while I'm trying to do the show and I'm reading the comments. I'm seeing what he's saying. I'm like, I can't put that on the screen, but that's fucking funny. Not to keep dragging this out,
but I just had a thought. Colby Covington threatened him physically, and he didn't give a shit.
Well, they're buddies behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
so
they talked it out
on the phone.
We got a mediocre card this Thursday or Saturday. I'll be back Thursday, and we'll make some picks.
Yeah, let's do it. I think it's a fun card. So if that's going to be your hot take that it's not a good card, then
no, that's not my hot take. I haven't even looked at it yet. I know who the main event is. That's it.
All right. So tune in Thursday. We're going to do if you haven't gotten the gist already, we do hot takes or take a shot. So Matt gives a hot take. If I can't argue against it effectively, I have to take one of these disgusting shots in this brown bag. By the way, the worst part of this Jim Beam orange was the aftertaste. I've been tasting it ever since, even though I've been sipping on this delicious Penelope Toasted Barrel Rye, which Penelope is one of my new favorite distilleries. They're out of New Jersey, and everything I've had from them has been delicious. But this Jim Beam orange, I can't shake this taste.
Is this like the good one of these, or is there better ones?
No, that's the good one. Actually, I like Sambuca, but you're supposed to like sip it after dinner.
Why? It was terrible.
Yeah, it's like a digestif, they call it.
It's supposed to help
the digestion process. My grandpa used to drink it after dinner all the time, and I remember the first time I tried it, I was like, "Oh, this is fucking disgusting." But then I got to see like why he enjoyed it. In any case, there's some nasty shit in this bag that I'm not looking forward. I think I actually pulled out one of the better ones tonight.
I cheated too. I wanted to try this one. You tried to give me grapefruit vodka, and I was like, hell no.
Oh, I can't wait for that one then. All right, so tune in Thursdays to catch all that. If you guys want to get MMA on the Rocks merchandise, you already know. The links are in the show notes. Reaper1.co, promo code MMARocks10. If you want to get some Magic Mind, that link will be in the show notes as well. Promo code MMARocks20. So you can actually get 20% off on that order. The Magic Mind can get a little bit pricey, but if you're out there buying yourself Starbucks every day, you're going to save some money, and you'll probably be a lot healthier. You won't have all that sugar and all that syrup and garbage that they put in those Frappuccinos or whatever the fuck you're drinking.
And you don't
have
to deal with Starbucks customers either.
Yeah, well, you can order on the app or whatever, but you don't want to be putting that garbage in your body. Get some healthy stuff. Get Magic Mind. It's matcha and it's mushrooms. Gives you energy and focus and whatever. Try it out. Let's see. Is there anything else? Nope. No, there's not. So until next time, cheers, everybody. Bye.